Well, I do love, whenever I see snow, I think of Isaiah's words, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And snow is a beautiful thing to see. I invite you to take your Bibles tonight, and let's turn to Hebrews 10. I'm off my regular preaching schedule, and this is part of my regular preaching schedule of sorts, as I go somewhere different each time on the Lord's Supper. And just look at a text that might serve to warm our hearts for the Lord's Supper. I've been doing this with you for 10 years now, and I've chosen Hebrews 10, 19 and 22. The entire book of Hebrews is like walking in a Jewish mind into the tabernacle, wanting to get access into the Holy Holies and discovering that through Christ, we have access. We can draw near to the Lord. And through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the veil of the temple, when that spear went in his side, the veil of, we're told here, the veil of the flesh, we were given entrance to draw near to the Lord. So let's draw near to the Lord tonight in the Lord's Supper, and may the Lord use this text for his purposes. If you're able to stand with me, stand together tonight for a reading from the inerrant and infallible, sufficient Word of the Lord. I'll be reading Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 19, and I'll read through verse number 22, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Follow along. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's pray to the Lord this evening. Our Father, we give thanks for this text that we have for our evening devotion. And as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, I ask that you could use this text to open our eyes and our ears, our hearts, to the confidence that we have so that we can live a life near you. We can do it not only when we're here, we can do it day or night. We can go to sleep drawing near. We can wake up in the morning drawing near. We can wake up in the middle of the night and draw near to you. And when we have the bread in our hand and the cup in our hand, what a vivid illustration and thought to remember our Savior as to why we can draw near. And that is through the broken flesh, the poured out blood, broken body of our Savior. So we who were your enemies can come near and be your friend. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there's something beautiful about coming before the Lord in song and in prayer. And whether it be alone in your private time, I hope that you feel at liberty to sing before the Lord when you're alone. And I've had my quiet time out in the open and just to sing before the Lord by myself. It's a beautiful time to draw near to the Lord in word, in my personal devotions. And private devotion can offer a daily inspiration, daily mercy, daily guidance, daily wisdom, daily knowledge, daily hope, daily blessing. I hope that you take advantage of that before the Lord daily. And then when we come together as a church family on Sundays, it's like an overflow of everything that has taken place during the week. And if we're all doing our business with the Lord and worshiping Him throughout the week, how dynamic it is that we can come together as one and sing together and worship together. I would trust and I hope and work on that this year, that if this is the only time that you have to draw near to the Lord, it as beautiful as this is, it would be a shame and pity that you didn't do it every day. There's something very vital about daily devotion. There's something equally vital and beautiful about believers gathering together in one place to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Dustin Binge, I'm reading a book of his right now called The Loveliest Place. I give it to our visiting pastors. And I give them a book and I pray with them as a couple if they're here out in the foyer, and I gather them aside and we spend some time. And I've purchased several of these books and I give them as a gift to them for worshiping with us. Dr. Binge says this: when God's people meet together, we enter into the place where God dwells. God meets us and we meet with God. Through Christ, we find ourselves face to face before God Himself. It's called The Loveliest Place, and it's really a tribute to the body of Christ and to the church. And it's my desire to encourage these pastors who come, and they may be limping because of some tough situations and some tough times. I want to remind them of the beautiful place that the church is. Some people would say the church, that is the worst thing that I could do would be to go to church. I've suffered church abuse and it's a danger to my soul. Mayday, mayday, I wouldn't go. I've walked away from organized church. And Dr. Binge has written a book that is a tribute to the body of Christ, and it's called The Loveliest Place. There's something beautiful about celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And coming together with a pastor, coming together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and consuming the bread and consuming the cup together. It is as though we are drawing near to Christ. We're remembering Christ. Christ is always present. He says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But like like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they walked and Christ was beside them, talking about Himself from Genesis to Malachi, and their hearts were warmed, but their eyes were closed. And they said, would you come aside and break bread with us? And when He went in with them, and they sat at the table and broke bread and drank together, their eyes were opened. There's something spectacular about the Lord's Supper in that story, that although they had spent time with Him walking on the road, there were things they could not see without that special communion with Christ. And so tonight, this text will tell us that we can draw near to the Lord. It's almost those two words, drawing near, the theme of the book of Hebrews. Draw near to His throne. Draw near to the Lord. We're told like three or four times by the writer of Hebrews to draw near. One of my favorite books in my library, it has that title, Drawing Near to God. And it's an exposition of Daniel's prayer. I think it's in Daniel 6 or 9, I can't remember, where he prays that prayer and dares to draw near to the Lord. I love that thought, love that phrase, love that theme. It is a high theme of the book of Hebrews. And we'll see it tonight in our text. I want us to see tonight, as he uses this tabernacle language. And again, there are ministers of the gospel who say, and of late we've been fussing with Andy Stanley out in Atlanta over this, about many things, but this would be one of them. Charles would turn over in his grave over this. He would say the Old Testament is a has-been, the Old Testament a wannabe. We are a New Testament church. The Old Testament And he fights, he even fights expository preaching. Taking a text, that's a lazy man's way. Taking a text, you don't want to do, I would fuss with him about many subjects. But one subject I would fuss with him about was an appreciation for the Old Testament. You will not understand this text tonight without a working knowledge of the tabernacle, a working knowledge of the veil, working knowledge of the high priest and Christ, what he is doing for us in heaven right now. I don't think you can understand Christ without the Old Testament. And if you call him prophet of prophets, tell me what a prophet is. Go to the Old Testament. If you tell me he's a high priest, tell me what a priest. Go to the Old Testament. If you tell me he's a king of kings, what is a king? Go to the Old Testament and you'll find out prophet, priest, and king. And tonight he gives this image of a veil that is rent, and he gives the image of entering into the Holy of Holies and drawing close in that most sacred place that only the high priest would go once a year. He would go with fear and trembling. Because of Christ, we can go in boldly. We can go in with confidence to before the Lord because we've been cleansed and washed by Christ and have that great relationship with the Lord. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. I want us to see tonight that we can draw near to God confidently. I want us to see tonight that we can draw near to God credibly. We're not slipping across the border and entering illegally and climbing a fence or crawling through a window. We can go in credibly with Christ into the throne room and spend time so near to the Lord. And we're doing it confidently, we're doing it credibly, and we're doing it cleanly. We have been washed and by Christ. Are you washed? We sing often, are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? We're washed with the purest of waters, Christ himself. Confidence, 19 and 20. This is where I will start. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. With boldness that we are told. It would be a beautiful thing if everyone came to church with gladness, with boldness, with expectancy, with a sacredness, and with anticipation, and with joy, and with delight, and with thrill to be able to have the privilege of coming before the Lord to worship God on earth as he's being worshiped tonight in heaven. What a privilege we have. We can come before the Lord with confidence. The language used by the writer of Hebrews indicates that our coming together, it's like a priest who's been made ready, who is willing, he's even eager to do that. Those high priests that would come in, what a privilege for their family. It would bring honor to the family. There would be people standing outside, a vast crowd, watching the high priest go into the temple, and they would see him robed, and the oil poured over his beard, the prayers, the blessings, everything, and they would almost be shaking to see. We all can do that. We can all do that when we come before the Lord in weekly worship. He's robed. He's ready. He's moving, and privilege for the family. That is for us. Now, priests sometimes didn't come before the Lord boldly and with a great deal of confidence. Brethren, we enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus with boldness. Priests seldom entered. They did it with fear and trembling. Nadab and Abihu kind of set the tone. They set the pace. They went in before the Lord as the sons of Aaron, and they offered strange fire. And a fire of their own designs, a fire of their own order, a fire that they concocted in their own head, and they were struck dead by the Lord. And the fear of God was put in the entire nation of Israel. You had better be careful when you go into that holy place. It's almost as like Paul would write, handle the word of God with great care. Handle the word of God with great... It's almost like we're handling TNT up here, and one mistake and the whole thing might just come out from under us. Boom! All of a sudden. But now in the New Testament, we're told we can go in with eagerness. Go in with confidence. Go in with a smile on our face. Go in with joy before the Lord. And that scene of Nadab and Abihu is given in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, when they lit the fire contrary to his command, and fire from God's presence killed them. Worship. When we worship, we come together with respect, come together with reverence. I've seen different communions do this better than others. I've walked into chapels in England, and there'll be people just quiet, praying. And just the architecture of some of those English cathedrals, it overwhelms you with a sense of quietness. That you walk in and you're not just cavalier. That this building was built for something bigger than man. This building was built with ideas that are beyond our finite comprehension. And when I go into a cathedral in England, it's like I'm standing at the ocean, kind of in awe, and I'll see people sitting, and they're saying nothing. They'll be there praying. They'll be there reading. They'll be there very quiet. And I'm the last one that wants to disturb that peace and quiet that they're having. But they come in with reverence and respect before the Lord. Believers need not come before the Lord with doubts. Believers need not come before the Lord with fear. Believers, we are told, can come with confidence. Access by the blood of Jesus. It's the reason why I chose this for our Lord's Supper night is because we will be handling this piece of bread. We will be handling this cup of juice tonight. And this is like the key that opens the door to the throne room of the Lord. It is a very sacred time for us. What was open only to the high priest, Aaron, and his prodigy, what was open only to that Levitical priesthood, is now open to all of us through the blood of Christ and through faith in Christ's death. Confidence. I wanted to talk about that. Credibility in 20 and 2021. By a new, we are told, a new and living way, something new, something not dead, not old, it's new, something not dead, it's living, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God who will go in with us. He will not say, I'm going to send you in there before the Lord alone. I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Come. Go with me into this place. And what joy it is that we can go in with the credibility of Christ. A new way. You say, what's new about the New Testament versus the Old Testament? The old way was the blood of a bull or the blood of a lamb or the blood of a dove or whatnot. Those animals of sacrifice that never forgave any sin. But the new way is Christ. What those shadowed, the shadow has gone. The reality has come. Christ is here. Hallelujah. We have a new way. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, a living way. He walks with us. He talks with us. He is going to commune with us. They would lay their hands on that one goat, and the sins of the priest would be offered to that goat, and he would be slaughtered. And then they would lay their hands on the scapegoat and lead him out into the wilderness. You would never see that scapegoat again. This new way, Christ says, I'm here. I'm with you. I will not forsake you. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple, they say, I've heard different discussion about how thick it was, but when that spear went in his side, at that very moment, the veil in the temple was torn from top, not from the bottom up, from the top down, not by the hands of men, by the hands of God, and so that we as believers can walk in to the presence of the Lord. And what a joy that is that we can come. We don't have to ask the high priest, what did you see? What was it like? We don't even actually have to move. He said, someone would say, I'm paralyzed. I can't move. I can't go. You can go. You can go in a hospital bed. You can go while you're driving. You can go while you're at work. You can go while you're doing the job that the Lord has called you to. You can go as a student. You can go as a professor. You can go as a child. You can go in your elder years. You can go into the presence of the Lord with Christ Himself ushering you in to the presence of God, and you can draw near, not just on Sunday nights when we have the Lord's Supper. You can go anytime, any day. You can go before the Lord. When he had that spear put in, and there was that earthquake that shook the region round about, and there was a local resurrection. There were some graves that opened up as a commemoration of Christ Himself. Tonight we observe the Lord's Supper with bread and drink. And in that, this is the means, this is the key into the holiest of holies. I've seen in Eureka Springs, recreated the tabernacle, and you can go into that tabernacle in Eureka Springs. It's very, very fascinating, well worth your time to go and see that. And there's some temple grounds that are beautiful. There's a Bible museum that's shocking. It's, I think, the third largest collection in the United States. Library of Congress would have one. The Green family would have number two, their Bible museum in Washington, D.C. Eureka Springs, it's free. You can go in there and you're shocked by what you see in their collection, an art collection, sacred art, beautiful. But they have this tabernacle there that you can enjoy and spend time in. When Christ was crucified on that cross, the spear plunging into His side, blood pouring out, the veil of the temple was torn into, access was given to us, to believers. We can go in credibly. Once a year, the high priest would go in. We can go in and draw near to the presence of the Lord every day. Every day is a high and holy day that we can set apart and go draw near to the Lord. And with the credentials, with Christ, there are many things that I have done that I would dare not do if someone didn't take me and say, you're with me. You come with me and we'll go do, come, don't, just stay with me. Act like you know what you're doing, and if there's any questions, I'll tell them, you're with me. Here we go. When we go into the Holy of Holies, we are with Christ. And He says, stay with me and stay by my side. Believers are credentialed by Christ, who says, come on in. We're credentialed by Christ, who says, come before God. I'm better than Aaron. I'm better than Melchizedek. I'm better. I am the priest of all priests. Come with me into the presence of the Lord. Your sins are forgiven because of me. I know you don't feel worthy. I'm making you worthy. I'm cleansing you. I'm saving you. I've redeemed you. I've purchased you. I bought you. Come with me. I've paid for your access into this place. Your life will be changed by going into this place, I would think. There's movie after movie after movie, or looking for the Ark of the Covenant and the cup that Jesus drank from, and all of that. It's stuff of movies. We can come in to this place, credentialed by Christ. And what a blessing it is. And you say, I would never be the same if I could do that. It's always my prayer that coming in to worship before the Lord, that we would leave changed, that we would leave loving Him more when we leave than when we came in, that we would leave edified, built up in our holy faith, that sinners would be saved, and that Christ would be sweeter and dearer to us, and that He would be more our best friend of all. Cleanly, we're told in 22. We do it not only confidently, not only credibly, we do it cleanly. He says in 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Clean. We come in before the Lord clean. People have wounds and they clean the wound, and the pain might last for a moment. Touch a hot iron might last a day. Healing. A wounded conscience. Who can cleanse? I don't know, but what my conscience, I wake up each morning and my conscience, I shouldn't have said something. My conscience, I shouldn't have done something. My conscience, just telling me. I heard, you know, John Piper put it in the phrase of my conscience telling me how crummy of a person I am. And it's a kind of a daily routine that I suspect that we all go through, just regretting saying something, regretting doing something, regretting thinking something. There is a healing for the body through medical means, there is a healing for the conscience through Christ. He says your conscience can be cleansed. Christ will set the reset button on that conscience so that your sins are forgiven. They're separated from the Lord as far as the east is from the west. We have been cleansed since Christ has done what He said He would do. Since Christ did what he did, our conscience is clean. We can draw near to God. We can live before the Lord. One of my wife and I's favorite Latin phrases is coram Deo, before the face of God, and before God's face, to live before God's face, to walk before God's face, to always be in God's presence, coram Deo, and to live in a way that you are keenly aware that your life is being lived in the presence of the Lord. He says, come near. Your conscience has been cleaned. Nothing to keep you out. Don't come in with the old devil attacking you, with the devil. And it's true when he says you're crummy. It's true when he says you're unfaithful. It's true when he says you don't deserve it. And you tell the devil, get this is private property. Get off my land. I belong to Christ. And you can come in with a cleansed conscience before the Lord. And you're right, devil. I am unworthy, but Christ is worthy. You're right, devil. I deserve hell, but Christ has purchased heaven for me. We've been cleansed by Christ, washed by the Father. Our thoughts, our imaginations, our words, our deeds, our actions. This text says, you don't hesitate for a moment. In our hearts, we say, I dare not go in. I'm no better than Nadab and Abihu. I'll be struck dead. And how true that is. And that fear is worthy of thought. But Christ makes us worthy to go in. Before the priest would enter in to that Holy of Holies, and he would set about his business, the one thing that he would find outside in the courtyard would be the laver where we would wash his hands. And if he skipped that step, and just cavalierly said, I don't need that today, I'll go on with my business, he would be struck dead. Washing his hands was a non-negotiable with the high priest. You must be washed before you enter into this sacred place. And I've heard some abuse taken of this text, and someone to say, this is your baptism, and baptism is part of salvation, and that, you know, you're not a born-again believer apart from being baptized. I have heard this preached, and I can almost see, you know, the little TNT that they're dealing with blowing up around their heads because they are not handling the Word of God accurately. Salvation is Christ plus nothing, Christ minus nothing. If you have Christ, you have everything. And you're spitting in the face of Christ if you say you are required to be baptized. This is not my cup of tea to say, I require you to be baptized in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. I've heard people say it, and I think it's even written in confessions. I do believe that step one of a new believer is to follow the Lord in baptism. Step two, come to the Lord's table. And in that order, do those things. But my idea would be the thief on the cross was not baptized, and he entered paradise straightway, expedited into glory, promoted to glory from the cross. And even as a Baptist, although I'm a strong advocate, and I think the case can be made bulletproof, that immersion is the way of baptism, if someone says to me, I'm sprinkled, I don't fuss with them. It's not my cup of tea. Because there will be saints in heaven who have been sprinkled. I'll just say it this way, apart from Christ, you can be baptized, sprinkled, dunked. The fish can know your social security number. You're not going to heaven without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And you're going to meet saints in heaven who have been sprinkled. And you're going to meet saints in heaven who may have never been baptized. But there are people who deal with this text and say, you're washed by baptism. You're washed. And I would say, you're washed by Christ. He gets the glory. You're washed. You're cleansed by Christ. And He does the washing. We sing, just as I am, without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Before priests could enter the tabernacle, they were required to wash with water, or else they would die. Instructions are given often in churches. And maybe I should be saying this. If you haven't been baptized, maybe think about that prior to doing this. I've never felt comfortable doing that. If you know Christ, this is your table. Baptism, though, there are a lot of Christians out there walking without church and without baptism and without even the Lord's Supper. And that is so contrary to Scripture that we would say, I don't need the church. I don't need the body of Christ. I don't need it. Completely out of God's will on that subject. But baptism provides, and baptism is a beautiful thing, it provides an image of a washing. It provides an image of the life of Christ, the death of Christ and burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ and what He has done for you. We are washed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And tonight, just as baptism, we get to see how good the Lord is. When we partake of the bread and the cup, we will taste and we will see we're not real liturgical in here. Pretty plain surroundings here. A battery-operated candle. That's the only real glowing thing in the room. Pretty plain. We're not really what you would call liturgical by nature. But I'm going to give you a chance to touch something. I'm going to give you a chance to taste something, to put your hand to your mouth and to savor the goodness of the Lord in Him giving us access into something that only the high priest dare do. We can come in as believers with confidence, with credibility, with we can come in cleanly, not because of a water baptism, but because of what Christ has done for us on our behalf. We are clean before the Lord. He says, you can come cleanly. And I say, amen to that. Let me pray with you. Father, the joy of knowing Christ, the blessing of knowing Christ, in so much worship, I see the attention put onto us, onto man, that Christ loves me and He wanted me to be near Him, and I'm to enjoy what He does for me. The blessing of being a child of God is not Him needing me, but me needing Him and loving Him and worshiping Him and thanking Him each and every moment of each and every day by day, and with each passing moment, these things are true. If there's someone here tonight who needs a Savior, may they come for salvation before we have the Lord's Supper this evening. They can come, and that high priest, that prophet, that king will deal with their sins tonight in this worship service that we are enjoying. May the lost come to Christ tonight. There may be those before the Lord's Supper. Paul said, examine yourselves. Don't take the Lord's Supper cavalierly. Some have come in and made a glutton of themselves and done this thoughtlessly and carelessly. Lord, there may be those who need prayer tonight, and we want to give all of us a chance for prayer, that we would be open to that this evening and pray before we put the bread to our mouth and the cup to our lips. May they come for salvation and prayer. There may be those who need a church home. It is the most precious place on earth. Around the world, if I'm given the opportunity to worship with other saints, meet them at an airport, meet them along the way, and especially to worship with them. Oh, happy day. Thank you, Lord. And there may be those tonight who need a church home. May they come tonight and become part of Friendly Baptist Church. And I would be thrilled and honored to be their pastor and to welcome them home to Friendly. Bless now, Lord, as we sing our closing song, and speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.